Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday night church service here at Calvary. And hope everyone has had a great afternoon this afternoon. And we're excited about the service tonight. It's going to be a great service this evening. Of course, coming to you Facebook Live only. And good Lord willing, here pretty soon, hopefully we'll be having more services in person. But for the time being, we appreciate this capability, being able to come to you through Facebook. And I want to say that we enjoyed the service this morning. We had a great time, had a couple people come to the altar, and that's always a great thing. And this morning we talked about walking on water, and we used Peter as an example of that, and how that Peter had the courage to get out of that boat. And Peter was cautious. He wanted to make sure it was Jesus that indeed was on the water. Could have been an apparition. Could have been something other than the Lord, but it was not. It was the Lord. And Peter's conclusion was that he walked on water, and he asked the Lord. He said, the Lord invited him on the water as he asked. He said, come. And Peter was walking on the word. And so we appreciate the good singing we had this morning. And Calvary's choir, and appreciate Brother Allen and all the singers and everyone that took part in the service this morning. I do want to mention a couple things before we bow for prayer. The things that I mentioned this morning, we will reiterate again. And that is that next Sunday morning, we're going to have special prayer having to do with November 3rd, our voting day. And so we desire your prayers on that. We will be praying here, and we need to band together and pray that God would allow four more years of the Trump administration. And so we, but saying that, God ultimately is in control, and it goes beyond who's in office or not, but we do pray that it would lean in that direction. And so let's remember that. Let's also remember Saturday, November 14th. We will give the specific time when we get close to that day, but we'll be having our movie night, and this will be our fall activity for the month of October and November together, and we'll have chairs. You bring your chair. We'll space out and bring your own snacks. We'll have a above-ground fire pit. It'll be a great time, and so looking forward to that, and then the following day on Sunday, November 15th, will be our baptism service. And that morning, Brother Snyder will, Snyder Turner will be here, and he'll be baptizing one of the candidates on that day. And so, again, let's just remember all of our folks here at Calvary, all of those who are sick and afflicted, those who are shut in, and those who have been to the hospital, those who are back home recovering. Let's also remember those who have lost loved ones as of late. Let's continue to remember Miss Marianne Sandy and a friend of hers that lost her battle with COVID. Let's remember her family, and let's remember Brother Ceylon's brother, and that is John Plemons, who is in the hospital, and Miss Catherine Plemons, her mother Marge, needs our prayers today. And again, just everybody on our prayer list. But let's also remember our other churches that belong to the body of Christ. And remember one another in prayer. Remember our world. And let's just pray that we'll have a great week this week. That we'll take advantage of opportunities in front of us and tell somebody about the Lord. And maybe even lead one to Jesus. Let's pray tonight, and then we will bring about the message the Lord's laid upon our heart. Father, we come in Jesus' name this evening. And Lord, we're thankful and we're grateful for this opportunity to come one more time to church, to be able to, dear Lord, preach your word, to teach your word, to be able to hopefully be an encouragement to others. And Father, tonight I pray that you would bless us, be with us, help us to rightly divide your word. Help us, Lord, to communicate your word to the hearts of your people. And Father, we just pray for this upcoming election that you would advance the Trump ministry, the Trump administration. And Lord, that you would protect America and protect our world. Help us, Lord. Just surrender all to you. We love you tonight and we praise you for who you are and for what you do. We're thankful for the service this morning. But tonight's a brand new service. And Father, we just commit our way to you and we pray that you would bless us in a very tremendous way this evening. Bless those that are watching and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Tonight we're going to start in the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 8 for a few moments. Romans chapter number 8. And this evening we're going to preach on this subject, victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. We've sang the old church hymn for years, and what a golden church hymn that is. Telling about how we have our victory in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight I want to just mention a few things concerning how we have our victory. Or different ways that we have our victory that's all wrapped up in Jesus. If you're saved tonight, you sure enough have victory in Jesus. You're no longer going to hell. You have a reservation in heaven. And you are dead to sins, or dead to sin. Although we still commit sin from time to time, we don't have to. I like what evangelist, he's in heaven now, but Bill Stafford used to say that when a person gets saved, it puts sin or the ability to sin out of the driver's seat and in the passenger seat. Takes it out of the drive position and puts it in the neutral position. And so we are saved by the grace of God and we are dead to sin. One day we're going to be free from the very presence of sin. But how about it tonight? Victory in Jesus. How do we have our victory in Jesus? Well, first of all, I like to say that we have victory in Jesus because we have God for us. God for us. And we're in Romans chapter number 8. Notice, if you would, verse number 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And so we see tonight that we have victory in Jesus because we have God for us. I want to say that God is for us because He's invested in us. In verse number 28 through 30, I want you to notice, he says in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. So these verses are telling us tonight that God is invested in us. In verse number 28, He is actively at work in our life. He said, Paul says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. He's invested in our lives because He has a plan and He's working everything together for good. The good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent, all of that together, God is working. He is stirring our life's bucket, so to speak, and He is creating something beautiful. Verse number 29, the Bible tells us that He is conforming us to the image of His Son. He says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate or predetermine to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so Jesus tonight, He is invested in us. He has a plan for us, and He is working it together for good. But also He is, and through all those things, He is conforming us to the image of His Son. He is working and using good times and bad times. He is predetermined. He has predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're experiencing tonight. But I do know this, if you're saved by the grace of God, He is using every minute of every day, every part of life, every situation to make sure that you look more and more like Jesus. You know, I struggle in my life from time to time, and there's dark days, there's good days, there's times where I don't understand what's going on in my life, and I try to rationalize things and make sense out of things, and still at the end of the day, they don't make sense. But I do know this, that God, through all of that, is conforming me. He is calling me into a closer union with Him in fellowship, so that I might understand His ways more, so that I might trust Him more. And through all of this, we're being conformed to the image of His Son. Verse number 30, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. And so in this verse, we've seen that He called us. And then we see that He justified us and glorified us. One day we will be in the middle of that glory in heaven. We will experience a glorified body. But in these three verses, we see that the Lord is invested in us. And so when we get to verse number 31, He says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And so the writer is telling us that what shall we say to these things? I mean, he has called us. He has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. He's actively at work in our life. And then He says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Tonight we see that we have victory in Jesus because God is for us. And He is actively working in our life. God is for us because He's invested in us. We see His investment in verse 28 through verse number 30. Not only that, but God is for us because of investment, but God is for us unconditionally. In verse 35, I want you to notice, the Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Paul goes on and he says in verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Notice this. He says, nor things present, nor things to come. And you can put in that, nor things to come, this current pandemic we're going through. And Paul, he covers everything. Things present, nor things to come. And so he's telling us that there is nothing that shall be able to separate us from Jesus. God is just for us tonight. He's for us unconditionally. Doesn't matter if you slip. Doesn't matter if you stumble. The Lord is still with you, and He is still in you. I think about pro sports, and I think about that there's agents and there's teams and there's coaches who have these star athletes. And these athletes, they have what they call sponsors. They have sponsors, and these sponsors, they support these pro athletes and, I don't know, athletic apparel and sports drinks and all these other things. There's these sponsors who are there that sponsor these pro athletes that these teams have. But they only sponsor them until they mess up. And the moment that one of those guys or girls messes up, whether it's something in their past that surfaced or something that they did presently in their life, once they mess up, they are dropped by their sponsor. But I want to say, God is not that way with us. The Lord, He is sponsoring us. He is our Heavenly Father, and we have Him for us. He's here to support us. He's here to give us power. He's here to help us and to lead us and guide us and direct us. And so these verses tell us tonight that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. Verse number 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What a blessing it is tonight that we have victory in Jesus because we have God for us. And again, He's for us because of investment. He has invested in us. Tonight, if God the Father gave us His prized possession, His Son Jesus, what would He not give us? And so saying that He gave us His number one prized possession, He is so invested in us tonight that there's no way, no how you could unsave yourself. There is no way, no how that you can slip out of His grip. The Bible says that you are in His hand and no man shall be able to pluck you out of His hand. Listen, we have victory tonight because the Heavenly Father invested in us with His Son Jesus. And He is actively working in our lives. One day we'll look just like Him. And He called us and He justified us. And He also glorified us. Of course, one day we'll be walking in that glory. And so tonight there's victory in Jesus. We have God for us. There's a second thing when it comes to this victory in Jesus. Not only we have victory in Jesus because we have God for us, but we have victory in Jesus because we have God with us. He is for us, and now we're about to see that He's with us. Book of Matthew, chapter number 1, I want you to notice this was the birth of Christ. Matthew chapter number 1 and verse 21. This was speaking of His birth. The Bible says in verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Isn't it a blessing tonight to know that we have God with us? I mean, the moment that the babe was born and brought into this world and took upon Him the form of a servant and died for our sins, buried, rose again, ascended back to the Father, and deposited the Holy Spirit, we would always have the Lord Jesus with us. But the Bible tells us that his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He's with us tonight. And I'm glad of that. We see that God is with us by definition. And that's the definition of his name, Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. There's not a moment that you live life that God's not with you. There's not a valley that you don't walk through that God's not with you. There's not a success that you experience in this life when God doesn't experience it with you. He is with you. He is a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. He's always present at the house. He's always at the dinner table. He's always by your bed at bedtime. He's always there when you arise in the morning. Whatever kind of day that you have, a great day or a bad day, he's always there at the funeral service. He's always there. God is with us tonight. And he's with us by definition. But not only is God with us by definition, but we know this, but I want to just bring out a couple of verses out of Isaiah. But God is with us by salvation. We know the moment a person gets saved, Jesus is in their heart. But I want you to notice, if you would, in Isaiah 43, a couple of verses. Isaiah 43, notice in verse number 1, the Bible says, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." We see in verse number 1 that he is Creator God. And we also see he is Redeemer God. Of course, he's talking about Israel here. But we also can apply that to those who are also and have been redeemed. Notice in verse number 2, he says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Tonight we're talking about victory in Jesus. And we see that God is with us by definition. That's what Emmanuel, the name Emmanuel means, but he's with us by salvation. The same way that Israel was created and formed and redeemed by the Lord being his people is the same way that you and I, we're all born creations of God. But we become children of God when we're redeemed and we accept Jesus as our Savior. And when that happens, we have God with us. Notice verse number 2, he says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." It's not a question tonight, will trouble come? It's not a question tonight, will I ever face another valley? That's not a question tonight in our tongue if we'll ever see dark clouds again, because we will. But the blessing tonight is simply this, that we have victory in Jesus when it comes to these trials of life. When thou passest through the waters, when that time comes tonight, church, when you wake up in the morning and it's not going your way, a phone call, a bad day, bodily aches and pains, when things happen along those lines, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. We have a promise tonight that Jesus will be with us. And then he says, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. So we see tonight that there is victory in Jesus. We're looking at it as it's unfolded in our relationship with him. We have God for us, but then we have God with us. And we see that in these two verses, how that the Lord was with Israel and how that when they were passing through the waters, he was with them. And in fact, he even rolled the waters back in many occasions upon a heap and allowed them to get to the other side. We have God with us. We have God for us. And then tonight we have God in us. For us, with us, in us. And this is the victory that we have in Jesus. In John chapter number 14, I want you to notice something. John 14 for a moment. John 14 in verse number 17. Bible says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse number 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. We see in these verses, I want to start with verse number 17, that we have God in us. The moment, again, I say it repetitively, I have been, but tonight, the moment a person says, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I've lived life without you. I know my sins have separated me from you. I don't want to go to hell when I die. Would you come into my heart, save me? I repent of my sin, be the Lord of my life. That moment that happens, you have the Holy Spirit deposited in your heart. He is now in you. And that's what it says in verse number 17. In that latter part, he says, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Of course, these words here were said and mentioned by Jesus before his ascension back to the Father. But it's all relevant to us. Everything of the Bible was pre our birth. And so we have the Lord Jesus in us. In us. I want to say that because we have him in us, he comforts us. Look at verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. We have victory in Jesus tonight because he is in us. The times we need to be comforted, he comforts us. And that's a blessing tonight. He will not leave us comfortless. But the Holy Spirit is, those that are saved, is the Holy Spirit is in us. And he directs us and he guides us and he loves on us and he tells us we're his own. We see God is in us. He comforts us. Verse 18. Verse 26, the Bible says that he teaches us. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Just another blessing of knowing Jesus. Just another way we have victory in Jesus. By that I mean that he teaches us. He is in us. And while he's in us, he teaches us. The Bible says that he shall teach us all things. But not only that, but I want you to notice he reminds us. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Can I say tonight that we need to read our Bibles? We need to memorize Scripture. Get it in. While we can, and whatever age you are, but those that are younger, get it in while you're younger, so that when you start to go through life and experience things, the Holy Spirit has a way of bringing those things to your remembrance and my remembrance, and they comfort us, and they guide us, the things that he brings to our remembrance. You can be in a situation, be in a jam, not have your Bible around, but the Holy Spirit, as He works in your life, you can be in a situation and the Holy Spirit can bring something to your remembrance that will help you in your time of need. That's the way the Lord works. And because of that, we have victory tonight in Jesus. Well, the Christian life is the best life to live. And I want to say that we have total victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have God for us. We have God with us. And then we have God in us. This evening we'll bring the message to a close. And those were the three things I wanted to mention tonight. Of course, we don't have a piano player tonight. No special music. We have a little bit of closing music that we play. So we're going to go ahead and conclude the service at this point. But we will leave you with a virtual invitation if you need to pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would use the message tonight to be a help to those that are in need. In Jesus' name. You take time to pray if you need to pray.